Let me spin a PSA, and then I will invite my special guest to talk a little bit more about Hamilton. So do stick around. This should be an interesting segment coming up. All right, welcome back to Alloy, a mixture of jazz and progressive music, right here on 88.3 WDCV FM, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the voice of Dickinson College. And I would like to welcome to the studio right now my daughter, Johanna Bear, who I invited to help me tease out the phenom, the huge thing that Hamilton has become, because I will say at the very least it looms large in our household simply because my daughter Johanna Bear, who is a soon-to-be graduate from Carlisle High School, and as far as my immediate sphere, she is my window into understanding all things Broadway at this point. So I've invited her to come in, and I thought we would kick off the conversation with, for in case you don't know anything about Hamilton, which is absolutely fine and you don't need to, but do know that it is pretty much taken not only Broadway by storm, not only musicals by storm, but it has become what I think is really a cultural phenomenon, and for good reason. So I want to invite you, Johanna, first, welcome.
Glad you could join me.
And maybe you could share with folks some background about the musical.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as my dad alluded to a little bit earlier, Hamilton was written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who, if you're in the musical theater sphere, I guess you could call it, he is an incredibly well-recognized writer. His first musical was actually entitled In the Heights, and it was written about the Washington Heights area of New York City and kind of talking about the immigrant community, the Latina community, and just trying to survive and thrive in Washington Heights. And it was not necessarily as much of a well-recognized cultural phenomenon as Hamilton has become, but it was revolutionary in the sense that it was the first musical that incorporated hip-hop and rap, not as a gimmick within a show, but as an actual form of musical writing and as a form of songwriting. And In the Heights was incredibly well received within the Broadway community. It was actually nominated for 13 Tony Awards, which is amazing. And it won 4 of those. And it was kind of the beginning of what people have started to refer to as the revolution of Broadway, which is incorporating hip hop and rap, which have always been seen as these very modern forms of music. And Broadway is always very resistant to that kind of change.
Sure.
But Lin has been the one to kind of bring that into the Broadway sphere.
Well, and you had mentioned to me the way they chose to advertise and or market Hamilton versus the way that they chose to market In the Heights, and if you could talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeffrey Seller, who's the producer of Hamilton and was also the producer of In the Heights, has talked a lot about the difference in marketing that they went about between the two musicals, because when they were marketing In the Heights, they marketed it as a hip-hop musical, which is wonderful if you're into hip-hop, because then it, you know, pops up on your radar. But if you have a natural dislike or a natural prejudice against that form of music, then you're naturally kind of predisposed to not be as interested in it.
Sure.
But when they were approaching the promotion of Hamilton, they decided to do away with that tagline, and instead they went with Hamilton, an American musical, because that makes it so much of a more universal kind of show and creates an identity for it that goes beyond the hip-hop genre but just happens to incorporate that as a storytelling device.
Sure. So if someone was completely unfamiliar with what this is even about, can you sort of explain what this musical is about, what the subject is?
Yeah, absolutely. It is about the first Treasury of the Secretary of the Treasury in the United States, Alexander Hamilton. And Lin has kind of faced the backlash of laughter for a long time when he would say, you know, I'm writing a hip-hop musical about Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton, and he would always get laughs. But it's so much more than what it sounds like. And I think that's been the whole journey of the show, particularly for Lynn, is having people laugh at the idea, and then once they hear the music, just totally being on board, which is really amazing.
Yeah. And can you give a little background? I mean, you kind of did already about Lin-Manuel Miranda and just the creative force that this guy appears to be at this point. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously, he did In the Heights. He also did a musical called 21 Chump Street. He's basically the force behind hip hop on Broadway. He also does freestyle rapping. He has a group with himself and several other actors actually from Hamilton who do Freestyle Love Supreme, which is this kind of improv freestyle rap group. He went to Wellesley College, just an absolute modern genius and creative genius in the way that he approaches musicals and the way that he approaches life. Just really incredible.
And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend going onto YouTube or the Jimmy Fallon, perhaps Tonight Show site, and look up the most recent guest appearance by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and you will see how fast this guy's mind works and how creative his mind is when faced with having to improv and rap at the same time, and what he's able to pull off. And it's not a parlor trick or a stunt. It's just amazing how this guy thinks and how his mind and creative energy pours into everything that he seems to touch right now. It's phenomenal.
Well, and that's his language, and he speaks it fluently. And I think one of the most amazing things about Lin is that he is able to apply such energy, and I mean that in every sense of the word, to everything that he does, whether it's promoting the show, whether it's, I mean, and we're going to talk later about the reception of the show, but he does things like Ham for Ham, which is something that no other Broadway musical does, because the tickets for Hamilton are so impossible to get that they have a lottery where you can try to enter the lottery and see if you can get tickets. And once a week, he has Ham for Ham, which is a live lottery show. So he brings other Broadway guests, he brings actors from the show, and they perform. It could be just, you know, a Broadway song from the Broadway canon, or it could be a different version of one of the songs from the show. I mean, you have Okinawan, who plays Hercules Mulligan, and James Madison singing Defying Gravity from Wicked as Mickey Mouse. You know, you get all of these crazy and amazing Ham for Ham shows, and that just, it makes it so that the people who can't get the opportunity to see the show get a piece of the show for themselves. And there's Edge of Ham, which is bringing students, New York City students, in to see the show. I mean, he's just this incredible force to be reckoned with right now.
And then they just published a book to go along. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, well? It's called Hamilton the Revolution, but it is lovingly referred to within the Hamilton community as the Hamiltome. This book is huge, and it tells concurrent stories of the progression of the show. It's actually the libretto of the show, so it has all the lyrics plus annotations from Lin. And it also tells the story of Hamilton as a show, as the revolution that the show has become. So it talks about Hamilton the person and Hamilton the show concurrently following those two timelines throughout the book. And it's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's quite. And as a graphic designer myself, to thumb through it, it is pretty marvelous. I mean, it is beautifully and hand-lovingly crafted. Again, I can't imagine in the midst of all of this activity and energy and all the directions that I'm sure not only him, but everybody else that is associated with the show is involved in, to be able to pull together something like that is just phenomenal. So you get a sense of what the show is about. You get a sense of some of the players that are involved in the making. Can you, as best that you can you try to explain why has this taken off? Why is it such a cultural piece at this point.
I think to get to that point, you have to go back and start at the beginning, because I think a lot of it has to do with the way that Lynn went about writing it. And it really was a labor of love, in the sense that it took Lynn 6 years to write this show. One of the songs alone, My Shot, took a year just to write that one song. And once you listen to that song, you know why it took a year, because, right. I mean, it took that long because Lynn had to get not only inside the mind of Alexander Hamilton, but also in the mind of so many other quintessential representatives of our country, you know, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Marquis de Lafayette, John Lawrence, George Washington, these people who we in our culture have put up on pedestals. He had to humanize them, because what's so great about musical theater is that it really shows the human side of the characters that it represents. And so he had to get inside the writing styles of these men and had to be able to interpret these incredibly challenging political ideas and historical themes and figures for a modern audience, which is so remarkable. Because, as I said, you know, it's not just Hamilton's story. It's also Washington's story. It's also his wife Eliza's story. It's Angelica Schuyler's story. It's all of these brilliant minds of that time are all represented in this show. And so, yeah, it took 6 years for him to write it. And as a part of the initial promotion of what would become the show, Lynn was invited to the White House to do what I think was referred to as just kind of a poetry reading event at the White House. And the Obamas had said, oh, well, you can just bring something from In the Heights, because it was running on Broadway at the time. You can perform it. And Lynn was like, well, that's wonderful, but I'm going to do something else. And he said, he got up there and said, I'm going to be performing a hip-hop song about someone who I think embodies hip-hop, Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton. And everyone laughed.
Right.
And then he starts, and everyone is enthralled. And that's actually, that song is one of the songs that we're going to be playing. But I think it's just, that started the phenomenon, because everyone who saw footage of that night was just so enraptured by what he was doing and the story he was telling. So that garnered a following right from the beginning. And of course, people who knew him from In the Heights were incredibly involved in what he was working on and in this show. But I think if you want to distill down what makes Hamilton as powerful as it is, I would say, A, it's the story, because Hamilton's story is just unlike anything you've ever heard.
And yet touches on so many universal themes that make it work as a vehicle as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get to talking about the songs that we're going to be playing, but it really, really does. And it's Lynn's storytelling skills, and it's the way that he tells the story. And it's also, I think the biggest thing, as far as for me to try to articulate, is the diversity. And I don't just mean the diversity of the cast, which is very well documented. You know, the cast itself is made up of mainly people of color, which is just completely unprecedented, even on Broadway. But it's also the diversity of the songs, because when you listen to it, you might be expecting rap and hip hop. And yes, there certainly is a great deal of rap and hip hop in there. But it's more than that. There's jazz. There are these incredible, quintessentially musical theater ballads that just get you inside the characters' minds and motivations and tell their story. And, I mean, there's songs that are told in rounds. It's just, it's unlike any other amalgamation of music, and yet it somehow all works together to tell this remarkable story,
totally.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. How about we work our way to playing the first song, And is there anything you want to say in advance? And obviously, we're going to talk a little bit more after the song is played, but is there anything you want to say in advance that folks might want to be aware of when they hear this song?
Yeah, absolutely. This first song is Alexander Hamilton. It is the opening song of the show. And if you watched the Grammys this year, you will be very familiar with this song because the cast of Hamilton actually performed this song on the Grammys in advance of their Grammy win for Best Musical Theater Album. And I forgot to mention, I should talk about the Tonys,
right?
Because I mentioned earlier that In the Heights was nominated for 13 Tonys, which is insane. Hamilton was nominated for 16 Tonys, which
Incredible. Is
a record. So tune into the Tonys in June. It's going to be amazing. But this song was also the song that Lynn performed at the White House. And you get a remarkable sense of the entire show. This condenses the first 40 pages of Ron Chernow's book, which is what the show is based off of, into a four-minute song. And it introduces Aaron Burr, it introduces John Lawrence, it introduces Jefferson, Madison, Lafayette, Mulligan, all of the major, Washington, Eliza, all of the major players in the show are introduced here as they tell the story of Hamilton's upbringing, which is pretty remarkable. You know, his mother died holding him when they were both sick. A hurricane destroyed his town. His father left. He wrote a poem about the hurricane, and people were so taken by that poem that they put together enough money to send him from the Caribbean to the United States, to New York. And then from there, he just became a phenomenon. And so this is the story of Hamilton.
All right, and we will cue that up in just a moment. I just want to remind folks that you are listening to Alloy, a mixture of jazz and progressive music, right here on 88.3 WDCV FM, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the voice of Dickinson College. And I am talking with Johanna Baer about just all of the amazing things surrounding the cultural phenomenon known as Hamilton. And we're going to cue up the first song that she so capably gave a nice background to, and it is the opening theme to Hamilton. And there you have it, the opening theme song, I guess, anthem, I'm sure we could also say, to the Hamilton music, simply titled Alexander Hamilton. So what would you like to share as far as that song and
Yeah, I mean,
got to turn her mic on. There we go.
I mean, with that song, you get so much of the story and you get so many of the characters. I love the ending, you know, that we fought with him, me, I died for him, because you're introduced to not only just Hamilton, but how Hamilton's life impacted the lives of so many of his contemporaries and huge names that we recognize as the founding fathers, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, and Hamilton's legacy is considerably smaller in comparison to those giants of the American Revolution. You know, there's that line, his enemies destroyed his rep, America forgot him. And I think that's so much of what this musical is about. It's remembering Hamilton's impact, but not romanticizing it.
Right.
Which I think is something that Lynn does a phenomenal job of, because it would be so easy to introduce these titans of our country as kind of the godlike figures that they've become. But there's so much more than that. Hamilton, almost more than any others, was so human. I mean,
complicated figure.
And Lynn doesn't shy away from that, which I think is very, very important. His legacy is complicated, and it's that feeds into the next song, which is all about legacy. Legacy is one of the biggest themes of the show, and one of the wonderful themes that Lynn kind of weaves in throughout the show is this theme of who lives, who dies, who tells your story. And it's introduced as a question posed to Hamilton by Washington, talking about, you know, when you die, who remembers you, and what significance does your story have to those people who knew you and those people who never knew you? And the amazing thing about this song, which we're going to play, which is the last song of the show, is that that question goes unanswered throughout the entire show. It's just kind of a rhetorical question, a very symbolic question. But then in this song, you have the question again, who lives, who dies, who tells your story? And finally, it's answered. And the answer for Hamilton is Eliza, his wife, who, I mean, talk about an incredible life. She lived to be in her 90s, long after Hamilton had been killed, spoilers, had been killed in the duel with Aaron Burr. And she not only was an incredible activist in terms of, she was an abolitionist, she worked to build the Washington Monument, but she protected and preserved her husband's legacy. And so she was the one who told his story. And so in the first song of the show, you get Hamilton's story. And the last song of the show, you get Eliza's story. And I think that's such a beautiful bookend to the show. And I also wanted to go back for one second to talk about something that I forgot to mention, which was when we touched on the diversity of the show, a huge part of the show's impact is that it's making history accessible for audiences who might not feel like they have something to relate to in the founding of our country, because as we all know, the founding of our country was, frankly, a lot of old white men who worked together to create this thing that we now call America. And for a lot of young people of color now, it's very hard to relate to that story because there's no real personal connection there. And so to have these historical figures played in the show by people of color is sort of a reclaiming of this history and making it relatable and accessible and believable for young audiences and specifically for young people of color. So it's just an incredibly important, I think, representation of a group who was incredibly disenfranchised in our history. And it's kind of a reclaiming of that time period and the founding of our country, which I think is very powerful.
And I think, too, musically, you don't even need to see the play. As someone who myself has not, I've not seen the play, you don't need to see the play to enjoy the music. And
no.
That's one of the many others. So many sort of universalisms that you know, Lynn and company, because I know he's got a lot of people that he collaborates with, his cabinet, to have created, because, and it's also music that has crossed so many different genres, boundaries, age levels, so I can understand, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it this morning as well, I can on one level understand why it's such a amazing success, because they've accomplished so many of these things that bring in a wide variety of listeners, viewers, people, age groups, and they did it with the utmost of quality. And
absolutely,
I think that's the other thing. There's no cheapening here. I think it strikes all these notes at a very, very high level, which is just amazing.
Yeah. And I think one of the most important things is that it is sung through, which for people who are not necessarily musical theater people, think Phantom of the Opera. Think Les Mis. The whole story is told through the songs. There is only in Hamilton, and again, I haven't seen it, so I don't know, but from my understanding, there is only one real scene in terms of where there is dialogue instead of singing. The rest of it is all the songs, because the soundtrack, if you look at it, it is a little intimidating, I will admit, because there are 40-something songs on there, and it's almost 3 hours worth of music, because that's the whole show. And that's why it is so accessible for people who haven't seen the show, is because if you just listen to the soundtrack, you get the whole story. You get the whole
good
experience.
Yeah.
You might not get the visuals, but you get all of the auditory experience. And that's really something that I think serves the show remarkably well, because there's not much that they have to fill in the gaps of.
Mm-hmm.
If you just listen to it, you get all of it.
Should we slide into the last song of the performance?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, this is Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Your Story. I think that's just such a beautiful embodiment of everything that the show is about. And if you are familiar with the show and you listen to that song, there are so many little themes that keep coming back, musical themes and also themes of characters, themes of words. And I think it's so beautiful that at the end, the question turns from asking Hamilton, who lives, who dies, who tells your story, to asking the audience and the listeners, who lives, who dies, who tells your story. And I think that's one of the profound things about this show, is that its reach extends beyond the show itself. It's a story about life, and it's a story that everyone can gain something from.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And I just want to say, we chose somewhat judiciously the first and last. Of course, it plays nicely in terms of you get with the full arc, so to speak, by starting with the first song, ending with the last song, and then Johanna's perspective. But also know that there were other songs that were in the mix, but because this is the family hour,
yes,
in terms of radio time, we could not play some songs that do feature some more, let's just say, colorful language. So do know that if you are unfamiliar with the soundtrack, there is colorful language, but all of it, again, is done in good taste and for good reason. So I just wanted to toss that in as a understanding of sort of how we came about this song selection.
And I also wanted to mention one of my favorite summaries of all that this show is and all that it represents. I can't remember who said it, but it's become the tagline of the show. And I think it was one of the members of Lynn's cabinet said, "It's the story of America then, told by America now." And I think that's such a perfect encompassing of all that Hamilton is and all that Hamilton will be. I mean, it's currently on Broadway, but they're going to be doing a national tour. They're going to be doing productions of Hamilton in schools. I mean, just the reach of this show, the legacy, if you will, of this show is so incredible, and it's just beginning, really. It's history is happening in Manhattan, literally.
Right. Totally, totally, which is phenomenal. And I think that's, again, touches on why we're talking about it, is that it has such an amazing following right now, and it literally, you would think it can't get much bigger, but in fact it is, by virtue of just those things, these outreach programs, these ways in which this story, this production is going to saturate so many areas is absolutely phenomenal, and to be around to experience it is quite amazing.
And I mean, even it extends even within the classroom. I mean, Lynn has released ideas about lesson plans and ways that history teachers can utilize Hamilton as a teaching tool.
Oh, wow.
And he also does Edge-a-Ham, which I think there's one that's going to be actually tomorrow at the time of this broadcast, which he's going to be inviting literally thousands of kids from New York area schools who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford the outrageously expensive tickets for Hamilton. And not only will they get to see a matinee of the show, but they also have the opportunity to come up with their own pieces of Hamilton history and perform those on stage for the cast. So they did this a few weeks ago, and I mean, you got everything from what Eliza Hamilton said on her deathbed to the conversations that never happened between John Laurens and Hamilton. I mean, just kids are taking this and running with it in terms of reclaiming this history and making it relevant for a modern audience, which is just so special.
It really is. It really is. So if you are able to get a ticket, by all means, maybe this show has prompted you to do that and to try. It is not an easy thing. It is basically sold out and has been sold out for the most part for months and months and months, and I believe it is still sold out for months and months and months into the future. Your best bet is probably to enter the lottery and just take your chances on getting a ticket that day. But it speaks to just how huge the show is as to just how hard it is to actually see it live, which I know they're trying to remedy, and I'm sure it's part of Lynn's mission as well to try to make this available to as many people as possible. But that time is not now, but it sounds like by what you're saying, that's going to be happening at some point soon. It'll be a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, and I think Lynn has already kind of revolutionized the way that people go about getting tickets, because with the lottery, it's every day, every show, there is a lottery. And if you win the lottery, you get one of the 21 first row seats. And you only have to pay $10 for a ticket if you win through the lottery. And I think that is another really cool thing, because Lynn recognizes that the people who are going to get tickets through the lottery are the people who might otherwise not be able to afford tickets and who are so passionate about the show that they're willing to go to such great lengths to try to get tickets. So he has those passionate fans in the front two rows of the theater, which he has always said helps him feed off of their excitement and energy at actually getting to see Hamilton.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's always tweeting out, you know, woman in a blue shirt, you were awesome last night, you know, and because he doesn't know who they are, but just being able to feed off their energy. I mean, they're doing the show 8 times a week.
Wow.
So getting the renewal of energy from audience members who are just as passionate about it as the performers are is really, really cool.
Great. That's great. Anything more to add or share about it that folks might be interested in knowing at this point?
You can catch them. They're going to be probably performing on the Tony broadcast.
Right.
So that's going to be, I think, June 12th or 13th.
I think it'll be a Hamilton fest, pretty much.
Yes, it most certainly will be. And you can download the soundtrack. It's available on iTunes. I think it's available on Spotify. Just go after it.
Yeah.
It will have a profound impact on you. I can promise you that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Johanna,
yeah,
and sharing your thoughts. This
Absolutely.
Has been fun.
Yeah.
And I am going to slide into a public service announcement, and then on the other side of that, we're going to get back to some more music. Again, you are listening to Alloy, a mixture of jazz and progressive music, right here on 88.3 WDCV FM, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the voice of Dickinson College.